So as we were putting together this Lenten series from the Gospel or the story of Luke, we were looking for a title, and I thought of the word enigma, which is something that's puzzling. Some people think they've got Jesus all figured out. Oh, yeah. Kind of like a lullaby, you know, he's like carrying a lamb or some little kid or something. But there's a lot more to Jesus than that, isn't there? Week by week, we've looked at some really interesting stories or parables, and each one shows us another piece of the puzzle, and so it's giving us a more complete picture of who Jesus is. So let me ask you, now that we're finishing this series today, you got Jesus all figured out? Huh? No? Good. You know, so much about his life, if you think about it, was unexpected. Starting with his birth, how would you send a king to earth? Would you choose a virgin to be overpowered by the Holy Spirit? Would you choose a common family? They were just regular people. Dad was a carpenter. Would you choose to have him grow up in some obscure town? Trained to be a carpenter? Wasn't highly educated. And then during his public ministry, the 3 years of his public ministry, he disappointed everyone. And I don't think I've overstated that. The religious professionals, the Pharisees, didn't like him because this untrained, uneducated carpenter turned rabbi was a threat to them. And all these people were attracted to Jesus and it threatened them. And then all the people that followed Jesus, were they happy with just being fed once in a miraculous way? They wanted more bread, more miracles. It's like the circus come to town and the tickets are free. This is great. But he didn't make more bread. Instead, he said, I am the bread of life, whatever that meant. His men thought he was headed for the throne and they were going to have more power and more wealth and everything was great, except he never raised any money and he never built relationships with wealthy or influential people who could help him. What's up with that? And even on Palm Sunday when the crowds were shouting his praise, Hosanna to the Son of David, that would have been his moment to say, okay, I'm announcing my campaign. But he didn't do it. And then, just when things seemed to be going swimmingly, he died on a Roman cross. And they didn't see that one coming. Right? They bet their lives that Jesus was the Messiah. But leaders, kings, don't die on Roman crosses, do they? And so all of their hopes came to a screeching halt. The story is over. We backed the wrong horse. Back to the fishing nets for us. And then nobody was expecting a resurrection. Nobody. They were all shocked because who can beat death? Who has power greater than sin and death and can bring themselves back from the dead? But there is the risen Jesus. What in the world? And the movement that we thought was dead and buried is now alive once more. And he appears to different people. Last week, Tim told you about two disciples who were returning to their homes in Emmaus. They didn't recognize Jesus. The Lord had blinded their eyes temporarily, and he told them how the suffering had to happen. It was all part of the plan. And then as they were breaking bread together, they recognized him. And he appeared not just to them, but then to the apostles as they were gathered there, and then to a whole group of people. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 24, if you want to use your phone, that's fine too. Luke chapter 24. This is the final part of the story before like Beth read for us before the story is continued in the book of Acts. Jesus has some gifts for his disciples and some gifts for us. We're going to look at four of them, and we're going to start in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. Peace be with you, a very common greeting. But coming from the resurrected Jesus, who appears to them, they must have been some welcomed words. Peace be with you. Not only was it kind of weird because Jesus just pops up, right? Where did you come from? Or here's the deal. His body is both physical, as we'll see in a minute, but it's also a resurrection body, so it's not subject to the same limits that we have. So he can, he can move outside of time and space. So it's like ours, but not like ours. But I mean, just Jesus appearing to them is anxiety-producing. But they had a lot of other reasons to be anxious in the presence of Jesus, right? Well, I think about the Last Supper, and then the night of his betrayal, they went to a place where Jesus prayed and said, "I'm really going through a hard time. Could you guys stay up and pray with me?" And what did they do? They fell asleep. And a little bit later, when he was arrested, what did they do? They ran away. And then after he died, where were they? They were locked behind doors for fear of the Jews. So, I mean, if you were them, you'd be like, this is uncomfortable because we didn't do very good. We're your best friends, and we didn't stay with you. We didn't pray with you. We didn't fight for you, and we didn't believe you were going to come back. So it's really super awkward. So what does Jesus say as soon as he sees them? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Under the circumstances, this was a shout of victory and divine assurance that all would be well. He's there to calm their fears. Startled and frightened, they sit together. Jesus already knows what they need, and he offers it to them even before they ask for it. Jesus gives us his peace. Jesus gives us his peace. He was there to reconnect with them, to continue a relationship of love and friendship. He takes the first opportunity to offer them peace. And I am so delighted, and isn't it wonderful that in every service that we have here in Bayview, we remind each other that the peace of God is here for us. Peace be with you. We don't deserve it. Like the disciples, we sometimes disappoint Jesus. We sometimes disappoint ourselves. But if we give him our attention, if we listen, if we enter the presence of God through what Jesus has done, he says to us, peace be with you. Peace, wholeness, healing be with you. Early yesterday morning, I was reading Paul's encouragement to Philippians chapter 4, a great passage where he encourages us to pray instead of being anxious. And then he ends with this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Doesn't that sound great? The peace of God, we don't understand it. Like, how can I experience peace when I don't have all the answers? When life isn't the way I would want it to be? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace be with you. The second gift builds on the first. So let's continue reading in verse 38. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands where the nail went through and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, who can blame them? He asked them, I love this. This is one of my favorite parts. Do you have anything to eat? What? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. That seems mundane. How many people over the years have eaten a piece of broiled fish? Right? So we talk about the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And again, his body was not just like ours, but it was material, right? They could feel the scab on his wrist. They could see where the nail went through his feet. And then just to make sure that, you know, this isn't like a ghost story, he asked for a piece of something to eat, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Do you believe it now? Do you believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus? I love it. It's a big deal. Sometimes we need proof. We have to see to believe sometimes. Sometimes faith could come easily, but sometimes faith comes hard. We have to work through it. And Jesus knows that. He wants his disciples to be able to confirm that he's not a vision. Sometimes when people are overcome with grief, I had this happen once, a young man lost his brother, and he said, I saw a vision of him in heaven, and I know he's there. And so sometimes grief can kind of create this longing thing. And I didn't argue with, I don't know, right? But this is not the case here. This was not just a grief-induced vision. I saw that. Did you see that? The guy's eating fish. We'll talk about the bodily resurrection of Christ. It's important because our faith, our hope rests on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It does. That's it. That's the cornerstone. If he didn't come back from the dead, what? He's just a good guy. But if he came back from the dead, it means we can live after we die. It means that the power of God is stronger than the power of sin and death. That's the source of our hope. So Jesus gives us his presence. His presence. He's saying to them and to us, I'm the real deal. All the things that you've been skeptical about should be gone in my presence. And isn't it great when it says in this text, they didn't believe out of joy and amazement. This seems too good to be true, right? We thought it was over. We thought we backed the wrong horse. But maybe not. But maybe this tragic ending has become a glorious beginning. And maybe there's hope for all of us. There are times in our lives when God makes his presence real to us, and he can do it in a variety of ways. I was thinking a couple weeks ago during our Easter service when we were singing, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. And I was thinking to myself, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to look into your faces. Because I was sure that for some of us, that was a moment when we entered God's presence. And it was so encouraging. Some of you have experienced God's presence during a dark time in your life. Maybe a friend called you out of the blue. Or maybe you were reading your Bible and something just jumped out of the page at you. Or maybe you were listening to a song and it just lifted your heart. God makes himself real to us. Here's what I hope. Every Sunday before you come to church, I hope you think this and pray this. Maybe God wants me to encourage someone here today. Maybe God, will you use me today? I'm coming to church not just to receive, that's a good thing, but also to give, maybe to be used by you. And then when you pray that prayer, open your eyes, open your heart, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because maybe you're like, who, me? Yeah, you. Maybe God wants to reveal himself through you to somebody here today. What would happen if every Sunday all of us came in listening to God, looking for somebody that we could encourage, maybe in just a small way? I'd like to find out, right? I'd like to find out. So the giving isn't over. There are more gifts for us. A modern day English philosopher says this, "The meaning of life is that which we choose to give it." Is he right? Is the meaning of life that which we choose to give it? To me, it's just another form of existentialism that we have to figure it out ourselves. And I tried that for a long time, and I wasn't doing too well. What a sad and unnecessary burden to place on people to come up with a meaning of life. Maybe people are living for retirement. Maybe people are living for their kids. A lot of people are living for the weekend. But there's got to be something deeper, something better. Let's continue in verse 44. He said to them, he's so patient. "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is exciting. There was a plan, right? God had a plan to rescue humans from the power of sin. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came up with this plan for Jesus to become human, to live among us. And then as a perfect, sinless sacrifice, he would lay down his life. He would make a way for us to be reconciled to God. And then he would rise again, victorious over sin and death, a victory he shares with all who love and follow him. There was a plan, and though Jesus disappointed everybody except the Father, he fulfilled the plan perfectly. There was a plan. And notice that the plan is not over. He says to his early followers, "You are witnesses of these things." They saw the risen Lord Jesus, and they told what they saw. He is alive, and you can follow him as we have, and he will change your lives forever. This is what we call the good news. Every week, a friend of mine ends a service by saying, "Go and share the good news." This is the good news. Jesus died for us. He rose again. He makes a way for us to be forgiven and reconciled to God, and he gives our lives fresh purpose, and you're a part of it. Right? You're part of the plan. Jesus gives us purpose. We're part of the plan. How can you be part of that? Like, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. Well, you're not asked to be a missionary and pastor. Well, maybe some of you are. But you're asked to be witnesses, just to tell in a winsome, understandable, and positive way what God has done in your life, what difference Jesus has made in you. You don't have to have all the answers. You're just a witness. You're telling what Jesus has done in your life. And Jesus promised to send us his Holy Spirit, so that we could do the work of God. Here's a cool thing. In a couple of weeks, Tim has put together a service for us. It's the Memorial Day weekend to celebrate the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was sent down upon us. It's already in the works, and we're looking forward to it. Here's another thing I'm excited about. The theme of our Heart Check series is that you are a messenger that God wants to use. With all of my faults, yes, with all of our faults, we are all messengers. The work of Jesus continues in this world to this day, and you are part of it. And that gives our lives purpose. That gives our lives purpose. The giving is not over. There's one more thing we see here. Let's go back to verse 50. One more unexpected thing about Jesus. Come on. When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them, priest-like. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. We call this the ascension. And then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So while they were watching, he is ascended. This moment with all the disciples around, all the disciples watching, one more thing to witness. They see Jesus lifted before them. He gives us the gift of his leadership. The story is not over. He's being taken up into the heavens. It simply means into the sky. It's just a description. But this visual ascension is symbolic, a symbolic assurance of God's power. Remember how when we talked about Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, how we said that the curtain that hides the glory of God was pulled back for just a moment. So here the curtain is pulled back again, and Jesus is lifted before them. He gives us a glimpse of his glory. The disciples saw him ascend into heaven because otherwise they could not see and believe that he was gone. They were led out on purpose to see him ascend, had their eye upon him when he ascended. Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them, and he left a blessing behind. As Jesus is transcending all that is humanly known on earth, this demonstration of power has a lasting effect and a significant meaning. Let me read something from Pastor Tim Keller. I love it. He says, the ascension of Jesus is the detonator for everything else that Jesus did. The ascension is that which takes what Jesus was and did on earth and releases it into the universe, not only in reality, but mentally and spiritually. It's the increased and heightened presence of Christ. The ascension is not the loss of his leadership and intimacy and protection, but the magnification, infinite magnification of it. When Jesus ascended, it doesn't mean that he went to another part of the stage. It doesn't mean he went into another part of the universe, but he now has a new relationship to the universe. He took upon himself a body. He became human, so he understands what it's like to be human. He lived a perfect life in our place, so he fulfilled all the requirements that God wants for anybody. He died and rose again from the grave, which means that he defeated death. Now, instead of staying in time and space, where he can only exist at one spot in space and at one point in time, he goes out of time and space. He's now on the throne, which means that now he has a position by which he can take everything he was and everything he did, our shepherd, our substitute, our mediator, our sacrifice, and now has a relationship with us to take and apply the benefits and the glories of what he did everywhere, all over the place. He's the Lord of the universe. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. The first time Jesus left them, they were filled with sadness. When Jesus told them he had to leave, there was confusion and doubt and sadness and misunderstanding. This time, it's not that way. This time, there is no sadness despite him leaving. They knew he left as king, as conquerors. They knew this time was different, and a whole new chapter had begun. They were to wait in Jerusalem until they were filled with power from the Holy Spirit, and then they were released into the world to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. What an ending. What a beginning. And here, we're part of this story. We receive the benefits of his death. If you love and follow Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You are reconciled with God. Then you are filled with his Holy Spirit. He begins to work in us to make us like Jesus. And as that's going on, we are released into the world to continue this healing work. Is that good news? You get to be part of it. This ongoing story, a new chapter has begun. So here's the deal. Don't be a spectator. Be a participant, right? Don't just come and watch a show. Be a participant. Experience this life that Jesus died to bring you. Experience the hope that comes from witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Be part of this whole new family of forgiven people. Let the Spirit of God work in you and cooperate with him. You will become more like Jesus, and instead of missing out on life, you'll experience more life than you ever have before. You'll experience healing. It won't all be easy, of course, but you'll be part of something so positive, and you will be a blessing to your family and to your friends. I invite you to participate in what God is doing, what he wants to do in you and what he wants to do through you. What will it take this morning for you to take a step toward all that God has for you? Maybe it's just an initial yes, Jesus, but maybe it's more than that. Maybe God is wanting to take you to a new level, wanting to use you in a new way, and it's kind of scary, and I get that. But whatever God is wanting to do in your life today so that you can be a full participant, I encourage you to say yes. And we're going to have just a time of prayer together before we conclude our service by singing. And I'm going to give you a chance to interact with God. Our gracious Father, we're so grateful for the life of Jesus. That he became one of us, so he gets us. We're so grateful that he became the perfect sacrifice so that our sin is not the end of the story. And we're so grateful that he rose again from the dead. And that he gives us hope. He shares his victory over sin and death with us and then infuses our life with fresh power and purpose. I pray for everyone who's here this morning that they may be part of this greatest story ever told. Thank you for this good news. Help us to enter into it and to share it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.